Good morning. That's the sweetest little sound. Love those babies. So glad y'all bring your babes in here with us. It's a good reminder why we're doing what we're doing and why we love this ministry. Oh, good morning. Welcome to Bloom. I can't believe we're almost done. That made me sad when Carrie gave us the rundown on what's left. But anyway, we're going to make the best of it. And this morning, we're going to dig into chapter 6, pointing our kids past themselves and consider their gifts and what they do with those. And I'm actually going to have us look a lot and think a lot, talk a lot about actually God's glory in light of those gifts. And so we're going to go ahead and jump in. Y'all have heard me mention in here before about being raised on a farm. So I've got a farm story for you. Part of that experience growing up was my dad was a huge hunter. That's what he loved to do, and he had the winters off because he was a farmer. So that's what he did every day. And he really liked to involve my sister and I whenever we were willing to join him. And that was key, when we were willing, right? And so there was this one winter. I was about 10, and it was so cold that most of the places that my dad and them would hunt were frozen over and they weren't going to be able to hunt. So he and some of his friends had this brilliant idea that, hey, there's this creek, and we can put our boat in it. The water's deep enough, it's not totally frozen, we can break the ice, and we can drive down this creek in a boat and hunt. Well, this was going to be a new experience, so he wanted us to be involved. I loved my daddy, so I went, and I got in this boat, and he put me in the front left of it. Now, keep in mind, the reason we're in the boat is because it's so cold that everything else is frozen, right? So, freezing our patooties off. I'm 9 or 10. We take off, and we're going down this creek in this timber, which it really is pretty if you can get past all the outside the overstimulation. It's really pretty, but we're going, and in the boat, I have an older brother. He is about 6.5 years older. He always had friends, so he had a couple of his friends, so 16, 17-year-old boys, me, I'm like 10. My sister did not go. My dad and one of his guys, and so I'm nervous. I really don't want to be there. I'm nervous. I'm cold, but I love my daddy, and so we're going, we're driving down this creek, and all of a sudden, over here on the left, all these ducks fly up, as hoped for, right? And my dad calls from the back of the boat, "Trisha, shoot!" Well, because he called out my name, no one else chose to shoot a gun. So I'm nervous, I'm cold. I pull up my gun and I fire where the ducks are, over here. Over here, a crane that is not supposed to be killed drops dead into the water. I'm like, oh my gosh, what just happened? And I turn around and look at my dad, and he was like, what were you aiming for? And I began to sit there and go, what? I was aiming over here. I was aiming at the ducks. But somehow I killed something unintended way over here on this side of the boat. And so, I mean, we kind of laughed and we kind of were like, is there something wrong with my gun? Is there something wrong with my shell? Like maybe the bullets, like the thing went over that way, the shot went over that way. Was there something wrong with me? Maybe I really wasn't aiming where I thought because I'm freezing, I'm nervous, I'm boo. And so really, maybe it was my aim and I wasn't as far over here as I thought I was. But regardless, whatever happened, I was aiming one way, or I thought I was aiming one way, but I killed an unintended target over here. And so some of y'all may have never fired a gun in your life. But have you ever aimed at something and missed? Have you ever had a goal ahead of you that you were shooting for and you didn't hit it? But even in the doing, you still might have accomplished something, even if it was unintended. Well, God tells us that our aim in our life is supposed to be His glory. It's supposed to be to live for the glory of God and to enjoy Him forever. Are we going to hit that target by how we're living life today? And will our children hit that target by the way we're teaching them and then we're training them? That's the goal. That's the aim. Some of you may end up deciding for the first time to make the glory of God your aim in life. Some of us who have been trying may need to take a little bit of time just to reevaluate our equipment, what we're using, the circumstances in our lives to see, are we really going to hit the target that we're aiming for? So I'm going to talk about two pieces of equipment, if you will, today to do this with. And the first one that I think is a powerful piece of equipment that we have to aim for the glory of God is our mind. How we think affects how we live. How we think about the glory of God and how we think about ourselves in light of His glory is incredibly important. And sometimes there's this tension that is felt, I think, with God's glory. That if we give God the glory, what about us? What happens with us? And there are a lot of roads that our minds can go down whenever we start to wonder that. So in order to help our children understand how to use their gifts for the glory of God, let's first teach them how to think about God's glory. It's first of all, it's really important to know God does not need to be glorified by us. He wants to be, but He does not need to be. Let me read you this verse really quick, and it kind of speaks to this. It's in Acts. It's chapter 17, verses 24 and 25. It says, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is He served by human hands, as though He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." There's nothing that you or I or anything that God has created can do that changes who God is. So He doesn't need us to glorify Him. It's for our good that we glorify Him. For it's only in living to glorify Him that we can be truly content. We're not going to find contentment where the world points. It's not going to be found in popularity. It's not going to be found in possessions, in the right man, in raising successful children. But it will be found in knowing God and glorifying Him with our lives. So God doesn't need our glory. We need to glorify Him. And that would be important for our kids to know. Second, what we think about our personal value will glorify either God or self. If we believe that our value is based on man's response to the gifts that He's given us, or what we can achieve on this earth, we're going to pursue a life focused on self. And there might be people that pop into your head. You can probably have noticed people who live for the pursuit of personal glory. They run hard after avenues of self-promotion, doing what they can to climb ladders and have themselves noticed. They're always chasing this moving target of the world's acceptance. Okay, they don't understand that their true value lies. Not understanding where their true value lies makes it hard. It makes it almost impossible to point past themselves to the Lord, to give Him the glory for those gifts. You know why? It's because we're scared of what's going to happen to us as a person if we don't understand where our value sits. And the truth is, our value has always been and will always be found in Christ. That never changes. Regardless of our successes or our failures, it doesn't matter if we flop with our gifts, our value doesn't change because it's based in Christ and He never changes. What He says of us is always true. So when we think and when we know that our value is not dependent on man, but it is secure in God alone, it affects how we can live and how we can use our gifts that He gives us. That thinking provides security to know that we can use our gifts and we can give glory away to God and not take a personal hit. Not only do we not take a personal hit, we gain from this. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 tells us, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward." You are a servant of the Lord Christ. You know, in some ways, God's economy sounds really backwards to us. We've got to die to live. Our lives are made rich, they're made rich by giving, not receiving. We give God the glory, yet we maintain our value. And it takes faith to believe God's truths because it feels so different. It feels so countercultural, right? But it takes away some of that tension of what about me? That's answered in Christ when we teach our children to think with faith. Consider in this vein, I think it's really important for us to consider what outside inputs are influencing our children's thinking, our thinking. I mean, all of this, I've been preaching to myself, goodness gracious, writing all this. Our thinking, what are they listening to? Is Beyonce preaching to them regularly about, hey, the girls rule the world? Is that what they're hearing all the time? Are their viewing choices affecting how they're thinking about themselves and those gifts they have or changing their worldview? You bet it does. It absolutely does. So take some time to watch what they listen to and what they see and evaluate it because it affects their thinking. And you may need to decide to limit some things or to change some of their options. But I would also encourage you just to have conversations around it, to teach them how to think about all the inputs they're getting in the world because they're going to have to do that for themselves one day as they're growing up, right? Hey, man, that is a cool song. Love the beat. But I don't believe those lyrics. Or that's a funny show and it makes me laugh, but I know I probably shouldn't live that way. I don't agree with that. I caught my husband doing this the other night. There was a commercial on for this new show called Temptation Island. Have y'all seen this? It's kind of insane. Like, it's based on this premise of these couples who want to get married, but they're not sure if this is the right person for them. So they willingly go to an island where they each go on dates with other people to see if they will be tempted to do anything with these other people. And if they aren't, then they know they're right for each other. Twisted. And my husband was sitting there, and he looked at my son, and he went, "Dude, that is all wrong." He's like, you don't go into temptation. You run from it. That's not how you find out. You run from temptation. That's all he said. But it was just enough that my son was sitting there going, okay. You know, and just this process of going, hey, don't accept everything you're seeing just because people are doing this as okay. Challenge it and guard your thinking. Our minds are powerful tools, and it is wise to guard them and to be intentional about what shapes them, okay? Well, besides our minds, our language is another piece of equipment that we've got to aim our children. How we frame our speech concerning the gifts is going to direct them toward glory to self or glory to God. Hey, you can do great things as an artist. You can do great things for the Lord as an artist. It's subtle, but it's different. And because of our sinful nature, we are automatically going to think that our gifts are for us, right? This, because the sinful life is self-focused. Your children will not know the true purpose of their gifts without someone telling them. So be that someone. Use your voice to be the one to tell them what's going on. They're looking, they're listening, they are trying to discover as they are growing up what life is all about and what their life specifically is all about. So you have the opportunity to aim them toward the truth. You know, oftentimes it is in their gifts and their talents that we focus to build them up, to build their self-esteem. We nurture and we support and we really pour into their gifts that we're seeing as they're coming into bloom. And it's because they're showing strength in that area that that's where it's easy to praise. It's easy to build into their abilities. So you're going to naturally be doing this. It won't be hard for you to want to praise your kids. It just will help you to start thinking intentionally about how am I doing it and what are my words saying? Where are my words going to take them with it? Catherine spoke to this well in her pages that you read about being, it's so good to be real specific with how you encourage their gifts, helping them to see the potential they have and maybe even ways that you develop it. All the while, you're just peppering your language with purpose for their gifts, and that is to glorify God. Their purpose in those gifts is to glorify God. And I was trying to process, like, I don't do that well. I really don't. So I was thinking about, how do I kind of help that? What do I do? And I began just to look and go, you know what? If I had a few verses or if I had a few truths that I could really think on and just interject them when opportunity is there, that would help. That would be an easy way. And so there's a verse in Matthew 5:16. It says, "Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And I thought, hey, that's a good verse for me to hide away and just to be able to encourage them every now and then. You know, just to say, hey, let your light shine. Use those gifts, but use them in a way that when people see them, they see God. They see the Father. There's another one in 1 Corinthians 10:31. I had read part of it earlier. It says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." That's a super easy one just to be like, you know what, baby? I don't care what you do, but whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Whether you're going to be a painter when you grow up, whether you're going to be the best, whatever. Just do it for the glory of God. That's what you're supposed to do with your life. That would be pretty easy to start peppering conversations with. Now, I do want to take a moment to mention that in our homes, kind of child-centered homes have been a trend for a long time, where we make the focus about the kids, everything revolving around their lives, their schedules, their stuff. If we let everything be about our children, it's going to be a very hard mental shift for them to believe that their gifts are not about them. If we want them to know that their gifts are given to them for the glory of another, we need to consider how we're running the rest, letting the rest of their lives be shaped. Will they be able to believe that everything else is about them except their gifts? So it's just something to process, like, how are we teaching and training them in all things so that it can line up and be consistent with, hey, your life has a purpose beyond you. It's for another. Now, their gifts are likely going to be what the Lord uses to direct them to the work that they have. And in working, there's always purpose. I think I marked this. Jesus, right before he was betrayed, he was having a conversation with God that is marked in Scripture. In John 17:14, he was talking to the Lord, to the Father, and he said, It's John 17:4. He says, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work you gave me to do. Jesus makes a point that one way to glorify God is through the work he gives us. And he gives your kids those gifts because he's probably going to send them into a field for them to work using them. And they've got a choice about whether or not their time on earth will be used, whether their gifts and their work will be for their own glory or for the glory of the Lord. I was talking to my 15-year-old daughter, Sydney, one night at the bar, and this was on my mind, this topic of glorifying God was on my mind. And so I asked her if she thought it was hard to give God glory for her gifts. She's an artist. She's real artistic. And in that discussion, she made a really interesting observation. And she said it wasn't hard to give God glory for the winning. It was hard to give God glory in the working. She thinks that it's easier when we've accomplished something big, the winning, to point to God and say thank you and give him credit. But it's not as easy and it's not as common in the working to stop and give him glory when you're the one having to do the hard work to develop the gift, when you're putting in the sweat equity and you're the one making the sacrifices where you're honing your craft, that in that, it's a lot harder to stop and give God glory. But in not doing so, we begin to think and we begin to believe that we're doing it right. So I sat there with my mouth open and my head tilted for a few minutes and thought, why haven't I had more conversations with you when I'm writing a talk? No, but seriously, I realized, you know what? As a believer, I too have had that feeling that if I don't give him credit for the big things, it just feels off. You know, like, I know I'm not supposed to take all the credit. But in the working, I don't always see him in the details of my development. I don't always look for the ways to point him out as I pour out the sweat and the tears to improve at something. I have found myself thinking more about like self-empowerment phrases that are popular or engaging like in self-motivation around abilities that I can do in my own strength and always stopping short of giving credit to the one who enables those abilities. And that's when it hit me. You know what? This all has to do with how we think and how we believe, how we talk to ourselves, especially how we talk to ourselves about all of the things, all of the developing and the pursuing and the accomplishing of the gifts. That drives whether or not we're going to give glory to God for our gifts or we're going to take it for ourselves. And if we don't learn how to see God in all of it, in all the working, then we're going to be tempted to not give him credit for the winning one day. So, this week, evaluate your aim. Where's your mind's focus and your language aiming you and your children's daily lives? If we start to train them to think with faith, to believe what God says about them is so true that they don't fear giving glory to God for their talent because they know that their worth is secure. When you couple that with your language, directing their thinking about their gifts, you're going to help aim your children past themselves to the glory of God. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you that you are the kind of God that doesn't need our glory, doesn't need glory, us to glorify you because of who you are. But yet you give us the privilege to do it. Lord, I pray that you would help us to just continue to wrap our minds and our hearts around the topic of using our gifts for your glory and not our own, that you would help us see in the daily grind of life where that is effective. Like, what are we doing? What are we thinking? What are we watching? What are we listening to? How do we engage in the everyday?